Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. And today, I have a lot of local sports coming your way. I think it's time we start talking high school basketball. It's not that far off. In fact, our first game of the season for both Carbon and Emory will take place November 20th. Of course, you'll be able to follow Emory High School and USU Eastern all year long, right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM and KRPX 95.3 The Peak, our sister station. Yeah, that's where the Dinos will play. So we're going to start talking high school basketball. And on the show today, we'll be joined by third-year Carbon High School coach Kyle Wilson. That'll be next segment here on the show. Also, I want to get familiar with the USU Eastern basketball team. A lot of new faces this season. Only two returners that played last year. Three, if you count a redshirt freshman from last season. And so a lot of new faces, but I'll tell you, I got to go watch this team practice last night and catch up with some of the players. I'm excited about this year. I think it's going to be a great basketball season for the Eagles men's squad. And we're going to get familiar with one of the players in particular. You're going to hear a short interview, a little personality interview with one of those players today. That's what we have coming your way on the local sports front. And of course, we'll give you the local recap, everything that's happening here in the Castle Country. Now, let's talk national sports front. Tonight, right here on KOAL at 6 p.m., live coverage of Thursday night NFL football will begin. We'll get the Panthers and the Steelers, this game at Heinz Field. And a report came out earlier today for the Steelers. It's the last thing this team needs. I mean, they have played great as of late, winning four straight in what I believe is the most physical division in football now in the AFC North. They're back at the top of that division. But today, Antonio Brown cited for going 100 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour speed zone. Again, it's just one of those situations for the Steelers. You look at it and you say, what else could possibly happen for this team? I know Mike Tomlin's job at the beginning of the season, he was in the hot seat. I think there was three or four coaches that you could look at and say, okay, they're on the hot seat. Mike Tomlin was definitely one of them. I think all things considered, he's done a great job this season. I mean, it's a team that does not have Le'Veon Bell. I have no idea what's going to happen with that situation. You could tell that it divided the locker room, yet somehow, and they got off to a very slow start, but somehow this team still managed to climb all the way to the top of the division when Cincinnati and Baltimore had a clear path. They had an opportunity to jump on the Steelers immediately. You think, okay, they found a way to right the ship, and then Antonio Brown does something stupid off the field. I feel for Mike Tomlin this year. I think he's had the most difficult job in all of the NFL. With everything that has gone on that is outside of his control, I think Tomlin has had the most difficult job in the league this season. Now, with that being said, Brown, I'm assuming he will play tonight because, again, he was cited. But Panthers rolling into Heinz Field, it's a difficult game for Pittsburgh. And they're coming off a short week. Mike Tomlin talking to the media, he addressed that very topic.
We're going to use all the time at our disposal. We better working on a short week playing a group like this. But this is what you sign up for, the challenges that the National Football League presents. Week in and week out, formidable opponents, short weeks, etc. We'll do the best that we can to prepare and stay singularly focused and put our best foot forward on Thursday night in Heinz for our fans.
Short week, you really never know how a team is going to respond. The good news is, if you're a Steeler fan, on the flip side, the Carolina Panthers have to deal with the exact same thing. This is a team that's 6-2. They're a quiet 6-2. They've won three straight games, and we can talk more about this in just a bit. They have not lost at home this season, 1-2 away from home. That tells you right there that, well, they played two more home games. So obviously the second half of the year, Carolina is going to have to find a way to win some games on the road. But if they want to keep pace with New Orleans, tonight's a big step in that direction. Cam Newton talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Thursday night is kind of a anticipated one because it's two really good teams that's playing. And no disrespect to any other teams, but it is what it is. You know, this game's going to come down to execution. It's going to be a hostile environment. We understand that. And we know that just like they're going to get our best shot, we're going to give them our best shot as well.
Again, we'll get you out live coverage for this game tonight. We'll begin at 6 p.m. Kickoff is set for 6:20. Really, it's a quiet day in the national sports front. If you're a Notre Dame football fan, you have something similar to what Utah Ute fans are going to go through this weekend. It was announced today that Ian Book, the quarterback for Notre Dame, will miss this Saturday's contest on senior night against Florida State. Book will be available for the game next week against Syracuse, which to me, that's the one that Notre Dame really has to worry about getting by. Florida State has not been a good team under Willie Taggart, but when you look at what Ian Book has brought to this Notre Dame team, without him, they're not 9-0. He took over as starting quarterback against Wake Forest, replaced Brandon Wimbush, who was in the first three games of the season, and Notre Dame's offense looked horrible. Book completed all three of his passes in the fourth quarter against Vanderbilt, saved that game for Notre Dame. He's been the starter ever since. With Book being out for one game, Wimbush will lead the offense. Florida State is so bad. Their defense ranks 65th overall in yards and 121st in passing yards per game. Notre Dame fans on social media are a little concerned about this. And look, I can be completely real with you. If Notre Dame cannot beat Florida State, who again has a losing record, they have no business being in the college football playoff. Ian Book is great. He's been great. Don't get me wrong. Brandon Wimbush led the Irish past a win against Michigan. And in the eyes of the playoff committee, this is something that you really start looking at this stage in the game. Clemson has done wonders with a freshman quarterback. They had multiple quarterbacks this year as well, and they beat Florida State by 50. Shouldn't matter who's under center. Notre Dame should handle their business against Florida State. I was a big Brandon Wimbush guy when he came out of high school. He was originally committed to Penn State. I thought that Brandon Wimbush was going to be a stud. He just hasn't gotten any better. I mean, from what we saw him do as a freshman to where he's at right now, he hasn't improved at all. And I made the comparison because the Utes will be without Tyler Huntley for the rest of the season. Ian Book's just out for one game. It changes the dynamic. I get it. Notre Dame has the athletes, and this should not matter in the Florida State game. So if you're a Notre Dame fan and you're freaking out about this, don't. Notre Dame should be just fine. And if they're not, well, they probably don't deserve a spot in the college football playoff to begin with. Let's move over to the NBA. 6 p.m. start time tonight. We get the Rockets and the Thunder. James Harden, Paul George, I like it. I'm always going to watch this matchup. Absolutely a perfect game to start off a heavy slate of NBA basketball tonight. 7 o'clock, we get the Celtics at the Suns. The Suns have not played well this year, sitting at 2-8. Celtics on the flip side, they haven't played much better at 6-4, 3-3 away from the Garden. Kyrie Irving so far this year, averaging 19 points, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds. This should be a game to get the Celtics moving in the right direction. It is a short slate, few games in the 8 o'clock hour tonight. We have the Clippers and the Blazers. The Clippers are at 6-4. Best record among LA basketball teams. Can you believe that? 10 games into it, the Clippers have a better record than the LeBron James-led Los Angeles Lakers. Tonight they take on the Portland Trail Blazers. Very tough at home, we know that. Anytime you're at the Moda Center, it's tough to get a victory. Damian Lillard so far this year averaging 26-5-5. And at 8:30 tonight, the Bucks will take on the Warriors. The Warriors with the best record in the NBA right now at 10-1. And I know it's so early, but we had this conversation on Monday. Excuse me, second best record in the NBA because the Raptors have 11 wins. Doesn't matter. No one's going to beat the Warriors. Telling you right now, this team's going to be in the NBA championship, barring a massive trade, barring someone giving LeBron James an all-star or two. This team will be in the NBA championship. Golden State has no weakness. And we haven't even seen DeMarcus Cousins yet. This guy hasn't even played. Western Conference, to me, it's entertaining 2 through 10. One, we know who one's going to be. And even if, look, Denver's played terrific basketball. They're at 9-2, and they're a fun story. They haven't lost at home either. Golden State doesn't need home court advantage. They proved that last season. They don't need that. 2 through 10, the West is intriguing. One, we know who the best team in the NBA is, and that is the Golden State Warriors. Toronto's played well, not putting them on Golden State's level. Not quite. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Again, we do have a lot of local sports to dive into. We're going to get rolling on that in just a moment. We'll talk some NFL a little bit later on in the show. It is a Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports, and it's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Emory High School senior Oakley Toomer is one of 10 3A golfers to qualify for the 2018 All-State First Team. It was announced by the Utah section of the Professional Golfers Association of America earlier this week. Helping the Spartans qualify for the state tournament in the heavily competitive Region 15 division, Toomer was a standout all season long. The success carried over into the state tournament, where he finished second overall, just one stroke back of first place. The 3A state champion Morgan Trojans led the way with four first-team selections, including 3A medalist Nathan Pressler. North St. Pete finished with two, while Emory, San Juan, Judge Memorial, and Union ended with one representative. The All-State nod for Toomer is the highest individual accomplishment for a Spartan since McCoy Holt and Race Nielsen earned second-team All-State nods back in 2016. Now we stick to golf, but move over to Carbon High School, and senior Carson Martinez and junior Brady Gagan were both selected to the 3A All-State second team. That was also announced earlier this week. Finishing the Region 14 season unbeaten for the third consecutive year, Martinez and Gagan led the Dinos to another division championship. The All-State nod marks the second consecutive year for both Martinez and Gagan as second team members. Last year, the two stabilized a third-place Carbon squad overall as the third and fourth golfers on the team. Nick Olson and Caden Slavinsky both qualified as honorable mentions to round out the individual accolades for the Carbon golf squad. Slavinsky shot an outstanding 78 in the first day of the state tournament. Olson used a 79 and an 83 to finish with a 162 score. Now, the Utah Section PGA extends the honor of first-team All-State to the top 10 golfers in each classification. The next 10 are selected to the second team, and the next 10 after that are selected as honorable mentions. The process in determining is unique among All-State honor programs. It uses nothing but numbers. 35% of players' best region scores and 65% of their state championship scores are used to rank each player. You can get the complete rankings by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. We move over to junior college athletics, and tomorrow and Saturday, the USU Eastern men's basketball team will participate in their first home action of the season. Both the men and the women opened up the year this past weekend at Snow College in Ephraim. The men picked up an 80-78 win over Western Wyoming and then a 67-53 win over Northwest College. The men will once again battle Western Wyoming, this time Friday night at 7:30 p.m. The men will then follow that up Saturday with a contest against Eastern Arizona. That one is set for 6 p.m. Now, the women followed suit over the weekend. They, too, started off the year 2-0. They defeated Western Wyoming 65-54 and then Northwest College 74-60. The women will take the court at 5:30 p.m. tomorrow against Central Wyoming and then 4 p.m. on Saturday against Eastern Arizona. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will bring you the results from these contests as soon as they become available. And do not forget, you can listen to KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM all season long for your USU Eastern basketball action. You can also watch the games live online at KOALITV.com. You can find more news, sports, and community events by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com as well. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Hello, sports fans.
Time for sports.
Let the games begin.
Turn on the radio.
It's time to talk high school basketball on the Coach's Corner.
Time to start talking high school basketball. That's what we're going to do today and tomorrow here on the Coach's Corner. Coming up on November 20th, the Carbon High School basketball team will begin year three under head coach Kyle Wilson. The endowment game will be at home against Tooele. Carbon, Bringing back some experience this year, I think it's going to be a very interesting squad. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have head coach Kyle Wilson over the phone right now. Coach, a pleasure as always. Great to get you back on for a brand new season.
Well, I appreciate it, and it's good to be here.
Yeah, it's always fun to talk Carbon High School basketball. It's crazy. It's that time already, Coach. I know you guys just wrapped up tryouts, and talking to you a little bit off air, you guys had a great turnout this year. You had a lot of selection, which I know that's a great thing for the program, but at the same time, it's got to be difficult from a coaching perspective as well.
Yeah. You know, we had, I want to say, 42 kids, you know, coming out for tryouts, and this was harder years for you know, trying to pick a basketball team because we had a lot of talent, right? You know, about the same level. So it was a rough one this year. Say that.
Well, you have so many. Well, I shouldn't say so many, Coach, but you have quite a few returners that I know you guys are going to be leaning on this year. So when you take a look at the makeup of the varsity unit, how experienced are you going into this season?
Well, you know, last year with only three seniors on the team. You know, we started two juniors a couple times. We had one of the sophomores start. And then, you know, we had a couple other of the juniors get quite a bit of playing time. You know, we have five seniors this year, most of which got a decent amount of playing time. There was one that didn't. I'm confident in our seniors this year. I'm confident in what we got coming off the bench. You know, we got guys returning. Back to your original question, we got a lot of guys returning that had a good amount of varsity experience.
One of those returners I know is Derek Hillam. I know the sky's the limit for this kid. I've seen Derek a little bit in the offseason, Coach. It looks like he did put in a lot of work in the offseason. So all in all, when you take a look at his build and the way he is coming back, preparing for the 2018-2019 season, what are your expectations for him individually?
You know, for Derek, it's kind of like you said, the sky's the limit. Without giving too much information out, he texted me at the end of last year, basically, saying, "Hey, what do I got to do?" And cause I don't know that I've ever met a kid that wants to win as bad as he does. You know, he and I had a talk after the season, for a little bit, you know, and you know, a lot of kids will talk to you. And you know, talk about it. They talk big and they don't back it up. But after that conversation, Derek and I have spent probably more time than any people should spend together. You know what I mean? We've put hundreds upon hundreds of hours in the gym trying to get better. And he's willing to work. He's willing to do anything I ask him to do. And he's turned into a very good basketball player. I probably don't want to jinx anything. He's probably one of the best basketball players Carver High's ever seen.
Well, let's talk about some of the other kids that you have coming back this year, Coach, that gave you productive minutes last year. All we have to do is go to the backcourt. Ty Anderson gave you solid minutes as a junior last season. I know that Brady Gagan was a sophomore. At times we got to see him at the varsity level as well. And, of course, Colin Lewis, who was coming off a very impressive football season. These are just some of the kids that we got to see at the varsity level last year.
Yeah, you know, Ty Anderson, I could throw him in last year at the varsity level, wouldn't lose a beat, wouldn't even worry about it. Heck of a defender, you know, he's not a big kid, but he's tough as nails, and he'll take on anybody, he'll take on any task, never backs down. We kind of proved that with the Union game last year at our place where we upset him, and we stuck him on their best player, John Parker, who was like 6'4", and Anderson shut him down in the second half, so... you know, and Colin Lewis, Colin's just kind of, he's kind of got one of the better basketball IQs on our team. He's a smart guy. He plays old man basketball. Me and Coach Gagan always all laugh at it, just kind of say he plays old man basketball. He's physical. He knows how to use his body. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's a good ball player. You know, and you mentioned Brady Gagan. He was a sophomore last year. You know, he did a lot of good things at JV level last year, a lot of good things. He can shoot the heck out of the ball. When he's on, I don't know if there's many people in the state that can shoot as good as he can, especially when he's feeling it. He gets on a roll, and he gets on a roll. You know, another guy that is going to be big for us, you know, Braxton Bennett this year. He's athletic. He's put time in. He's a heck of a defender. And so I'm excited for what he can bring to us. And then, you know, the other senior, John Zamatakis, and John's smart. You know, he's gonna hate me for saying this, and he don't look like much. But John's a smart kid, and John's a good basketball player, and he loves it. And, you know, those five seniors, they'll do whatever it takes. You know, they'll do whatever they need to do to try to win and try to be successful.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Kyle Wilson of the Garbin High School basketball squad. Coach, you're going into year three as the head coach, which means a lot of these seniors, and even for the juniors that we're going to see at the varsity level, they have been your kids for the last 3 years. I mean, you are the only high school basketball coach from the varsity level that they have seen. Does that make a huge difference? Have you noticed?
You know, it does. And what it does is you build a bond with these kids. You have a good relationship with them. And, you know, and not only have they only played at Garbin, you know, for me, or for the most part, but, you know, also all the time, you know, summer camps, and, you know, we spend a week in St. George together. We spend a week in Vegas together with a varsity team. I spend two or three nights a week all fall doing a fall league up north with these guys. So you get to know them, and what I have found out, if you can build a relationship with these guys, if you can show these guys that you care about them, that you have their back no matter what, that they'll try to run through a wall for you. You know, and so these guys, you know, I have a good relationship with, you know, quite a few of them, are seniors through sophomores, and they're willing to work, they're willing to listen, they're willing to try and try to do anything I ask them to do, and it makes my job so much easier when I have kids like that.
Well, you mentioned all the things that you guys have done over the offseason, and with tryouts now complete, Coach, we're 12 days away from the start of the basketball season. I know that obviously helps, but between now and then, how much do you really have to push and rush to get set for that season opener against Willa?
You know, that varsity team, you know, Colin played football. I don't take Colin away from football. He's played football. That's his first love. You know, the rest of them, we've been playing since July together. And so we kind of know, you know, that fall league, especially now, you know, for the past, I don't know, 4 years, I believe, I took a team up for the fall league. Even when Coach Cisneros was when I was his assistant coach, he allowed me the opportunity to go up and take a team to fall league. But that's kind of our preseason now, it seems like. We go up there, we get 10 games in, we can, against really good competition. And we kind of see where we stand, and we fix things as we go. So, you know, we get to tryouts, we get to, you know, first practice, second practice. We already know what to expect. We already, you know, have started fixing things. We've already passed that, you know, get to know each other phase, you know, for the new year.
Well, I really like the schedule, Coach, as we take a look at a lot of basketball before Christmas. I mean, you mentioned it. You got to go on the road a little bit here for three games in 3 days. Emory is somewhat early on in the schedule, just a couple of weeks, 3 weeks into the season. You're going to travel down to Canyon View right after Christmas through the new year. So, I mean, really, once things pick up against Tooele, you guys play a lot of basketball in a very short period of time.
Oh, yeah. You know, Tooele. You know, it's a home game again this year with them. So I'm stoked to open it up with them. We're trying to open up a home game, but yeah, then after that, like you said, the next week we're gone 3 days and, in Colorado. And then the next 3 days, you know, then the next week we got, you know, two games, we go to Uinta, and then Emory's at our place. And then that next week we start region, you know, we go on the road twice to start region. You know, the 12th and the 14th of December. And those are two, you know, if we can get, you know, we can sneak one or, you know, at least one, but two of those away, I mean, that sets us huge going into region play, getting two wins. You know, and then right before Christmas, right before the break, we got Delta at home. You know, Delta's a good basketball team. I think they're going to be they'll be a tough matchup for us. We got Derek Smith, who's a junior guard, who's just a great basketball player. But, you know, if we can come away, those are three winnable games. I'm looking at my schedule, you know, right now, and I'm looking at every game we play, I see a W by. You know, some of them might be tough, some of them might be a dogfight, but I think the team we got this year, I think the with the hard work we're willing to put in, and with the effort, and just with the group of guys that understand each other, I think you know, every game's a winnable game.
Well, we go back to last season. The Region 14 division itself was so talented front to back, Coach, and I haven't done a lot of research yet to see what some of these teams are bringing back, but I'd have to anticipate, once again, it's a tough grind when you look at Delta and Union and Providence Hall and JUAB. I mean, all the way down to American Leadership Academy and Mesa Prep, there weren't many off nights in Region 14 last year, to say the least.
No. You know, you're hitting on the nose. I mean, With last year, kind of, you know, the new regions, they designed the new alignments and all that. You know, you came in with some of those. With private schools, I don't think a lot of you know, schools, public schools had, they didn't have much respect for, to be honest with you. You know, after playing them, you know, I got utmost respect for every one of those private schools, especially in our region. You know, Providence Hall is bringing back a Sherwood kid. He's like 6'5", he's a senior, he's a ball player. And you know, ALA, they just played hard. You know, we beat them at our place, but they beat, no, sorry, we lost to them twice last year, just because they played hard. You know, they played hard. If you play teams that are scrappy and they just play hard and physical, you know, they always have a chance to win. You know, Mazer Prep's kind of the same way, and we've already talked about Delta and JUAB. They're a bunch of, you know, they're tough. You know, anytime you go, especially going up to their place, they're tough. They don't like to lose at their place. You know, in Union, I know they lost the Parker kid, but I think they got a new head coach this year, and I think he's got them ready to go. So, you know, yeah, top to bottom, you know, it's going to be a battle, you know, all year. So,
well, definitely looking forward to it, Coach. It's great to get you back on and start talking about Carbon High School basketball again. Thank you, Coach, and I know we'll talk soon.
Hey, thank you.
Again, that's Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbon High School boys basketball squad. They will open up the season on November 20th on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak. That's where the Dinos play. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll move to the national side of things on this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Live from the KOAL newsroom in Price, Utah, it's Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Take that for data.
Massive game coming up tonight in the NFL. And it'll be right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. You know the old story about how bad Thursday night football is for the league? Players hate it. And I think tonight might be a prime reason as to why they hate it. This is a big game. And I think you can make multiple arguments for each team and who needs a win tonight more. And it's an extremely short week for both of them. Again, Pittsburgh has played some top-notch football as of late. They've won four straight games. And they have it figured out. And we forgot about the fact that we were talking about this team needing to make a move. And would Mike Tomlin have a job? That was like 4 weeks ago we were talking about this. And now that tie that they have to the Cleveland Browns doesn't look so bad. Because of that tie, the fact that they didn't lose that game, they have complete control of the AFC North right now. Half a game better than Cincinnati. Three games in the loss column better than Baltimore right now. And the Steelers have played pretty good football. And the storyline will always be Le'Veon Bell. Everybody's going to talk about that. Forget it. James Conner's been great, averaging almost 5 yards per carry, rushing for over 700 yards already this season. Juju Smith continues to play great football, leading receiver on the team with 672 yards. He's got a couple of touchdowns to go along with his season as well. Antonio Brown, as far as targets go, he leads the team in targets, but not by that much more than Juju. See, Juju has become a safety valve for Ben Roethlisberger, and the offense seems to be clicking. I mean, you take a look at the last few outings for the Steelers, the offense has found its rhythm. 23-16 win against Baltimore on the road, that's a solid win. 33-18 win against Cleveland, solid win. 28 points they put up against the Bengals on the road, 41 they put up against the Falcons at home. So at home, the offense has been a little bit more productive, but still the offense has figured it out. Defensively, And that was the big knock on the Steelers at the beginning of the season, right? Defensively, this team had problems. They gave up 42 to Kansas City. They gave up 27 to Tampa Bay. Since giving up 26 to Baltimore in the second loss of the year, this team has not allowed more than 3 touchdowns in a game. So the Steelers defensively have been a lot better. In fact, when you take a look at what they have given up within the division, second best team next to Baltimore, who has a defensive identity, been much better than Cincinnati. Much, much better from a point perspective. You take a look at the NFL in general, points allowed. Pittsburgh 188, and like I said, 42 of that is against Kansas City, one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL. So you take a look at points against, one of the best in the AFC since that first week. Now, they've played good football, and they have found a rhythm offensively without Le'Veon Bell. Now, on the flip side, you talk about the Carolina Panthers. They need this win. To me, it's more important for Carolina to get a win tonight than it is for Pittsburgh. Because I think the Steelers win the AFC North, barring a catastrophe, as long as Ben Roethlisberger is healthy, the way the defense is playing right now. I love James Bostic, by the way, if we're talking defensively for the Steelers. But as long as Ben Roethlisberger is healthy, Pittsburgh wins the AFC North. Carolina, on the flip side, and again, they played pretty good football as of late, too. They were 3-2. Now they're 6-2 after winning 3 consecutive games. And when I talk about great defenses, they've only given up 180 points this season. And they play within the division of Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, even though they haven't played Drew Brees yet. But they play in a very high-scoring division. Carolina at 6-2 right now would be the number one wild card in the NFC. Lurking is Minnesota at 5-3-1. They have that tie, and that tie is actually going to play a pretty intricate role when looking at it. Okay, so right now they're a wild card. They got to keep pace with New Orleans if they want to win the NFC South. You win the NFC South, you have a legitimate chance of getting a first-round bye. In fact, I believe the South and the West will be the two teams that get the bye. And I'll bring in Travis Anderson now for the duration of the remainder of this conversation. Carolina needing to keep pace with New Orleans, looking at the NFC East with Washington and Philadelphia, and looking at Minnesota, to me, they need this win tonight more than Pittsburgh. It definitely, in my mind, it means more to Carolina, especially in the NFC South race. I think Pittsburgh can lose a game or two, and they're going to be fine in that division. Carolina's margin for error is 0+. Plus, the Panthers have not been good away from home. They're 1-2. They're 5-0 at home, 1-2 on the road. They have to play the majority of the second half of the season on the road. This game's more important for Cam Newton and company tonight.
No, I agree with you. With the AFC in Pittsburgh, their division's not very good, so Pittsburgh can afford a loss here or there. Carolina has to keep pace with the Saints and, you know, the Rams, and you know the Eagles are going to start to come around too, so they got to keep pace in the NFC, so it's more important tonight for Carolina to win than it is for Pittsburgh.
Ideally, if Carolina gets a win tonight and the Rams beat Seattle on Sunday,
which they should,
that's one less team that Carolina should have to worry about, which means in the grand scheme of things, if things continue to play out the way they should, Washington, Philly, Chicago, Minnesota, Carolina would be competing for the final 4 playoff spots in the NFC. It's a lot more compact in the NFC than it is in the AFC. I mean, it is, because I don't mind Cincinnati. I really don't. They can score points. They don't have A.J. Green right now. He's going to miss the next couple of weeks. Solid option for this team. When I look at what Pittsburgh is up against the rest of the way, to me, this is a no-brainer. It's a great game. It's a marquee matchup. Pittsburgh, I don't know that Pittsburgh gets a first-round bye regardless, because they're not going to catch New England, and their odds are they're not going to catch Kansas City unless they really come back down to earth. So to me, Pittsburgh's going to have the third or fourth best record in the AFC. They're going to win the AFC North. That's the way I view it after 9 weeks. I don't know what to think of Carolina. Like I said, they've won 3 consecutive games. And when you take a look at the offensive numbers, yes, they have been pretty good as of late. Defensively, we know what we're going to get from Carolina. But Cam Newton's been pretty good. And I'll tell you who else has really picked up his production as of late is Christian McCaffrey.
Yes, he's really got going early on in the games. And that opens up the passing game, which Cam Newton has done a good job. Like you said, though, they've struggled on the road a little bit. Good home team, so we'll see how that plays over tonight going into Pittsburgh, which is a tough place to play.
Tough place to play, and again, I said this during the intro, I'm going to go back to it. Mike Tomlin has had the most difficult job of the year in the NFL.
He has. I agree with
and
you.
And he's passed with flying colors.
Yeah, he got Pittsburgh right in the thick things once again, like he always does.
Yeah, you didn't want this job. This was a guy that was on the hot seat coming into the season. There's no Le'Veon Bell. You know that locker room's been divided. You look at what happened today with Antonio Brown. This guy has been in the most difficult situation of any coach in the NFL this season because they're in win-now mode, even though they don't necessarily have the pieces to win now. And he's passed with flying colors.
In fact, I can coach my team anytime.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Live coverage will begin at 6 p.m. tonight. Kickoff is set for 6:20. It's the Panthers and the Steelers. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back for the final touches on this Thursday edition of the show when we return.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
Close out this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports by talking NBA basketball. Travis, we're 10, 11 games into the season for some teams. And, you know, the Lakers made a great move by signing Tyson Chandler. It's already paid dividends. They don't win that game last night without Tyson Chandler.
No, if you look at Karl Anthony Towns in the second half.
He wasn't good.
I don't think he scored. Did he score in the second half?
No, he didn't score.
And he had six turnovers. So, yeah, Tyson Chandler did a great job of bodying him up and getting rebounds down the stretch.
It's the first big move. And I don't even know if you can consider it a big move. I don't think it's a championship move, but it will pay dividends for this Laker team. But it's the first major move any team of the Western Conference has made up to this point. You know, Golden State again, second to none. Denver right now at 9-2. I think they're fool's gold. I really do. I'm not buying into Denver just yet. Portland, San Antonio, the Clippers, OKC. I don't buy Memphis. I don't buy Sacramento. Right now, the Lakers and the Jazz are on the outside looking into the playoffs. Both of those two teams will be in. The Western Conference is going to be packed 2-10. It's an entertaining race. Eastern Conference, Toronto. I know Milwaukee has played well this season. Boston has struggled. So has Philadelphia, but they're fine. They'll be there. Indiana, I think, is an intriguing team as well. So the East is wide open. Worst team in the NBA so far. Who have you seen this year that just flat out stinks?
The Wizards.
Okay, I'm with you. I know that Cleveland has a worse record than Washington right now. Okay,
but we knew that.
But we knew, exactly. They lost the best player in the world. They got nothing for him. We knew it. But Washington, based on payroll and based on what Ernie Grunfeld, who has a great reputation in the NBA, based on what they have, they should not be this bad. And I don't know if it's Scott Brooks. I know a lot of people aren't high on Scott Brooks. I like him. I think he can coach. I just don't think it's the right situation.
Got a lot of pieces that don't really fit.
A lot of expensive pieces.
Yeah, Bradley Beal, that backcourt's okay. But you got Dwight Howard, Otto Porter Jr., Kelly Oubre, Austin Rivers. I mean, Markieff Morris, Jeff Green. I mean, the roster is just... There's no rhyme or reason to that roster.
There's no continuity to it.
No.
I mean, they're 2-8 so far, and they're being outscored by an average of 10 points per contest. Here's the problem with Washington, and this is where Grunfeld's going to have to get really creative. Otto Porter is locked up for the next 3 years. $26 million this year, $27.2 next year, $28.4 the year after. Bradley Beal is locked up, $25 this year, $27 next, $28 the year after that. John Wall, $19 this year, and then it gets crazy. $37, $40, 43 and 46. It's $141 million they still owe John. Did you know that?
No.
That's what they still owe John Wall.
I knew he got a lot of money. I just didn't know it went from 19 to the 30s.
Backloaded.
And then into the 40s.
$46 million. 46.8 is what they'll have to pay him in 2022. It's a player option. He's not declining that player option.
No, he will sign right away.
Ian Mahimi, 15.9, 15.4 next year. I think that the John Wall contract is borderline unmovable at this stage in the game. Bradley Beal, you could probably move Beal at the deadline. Otto Porter, they used bird rights to re-up him. They used bird rights to re-up John Wall, obviously. I don't think Otto Porter's contract is movable. I really don't. I think the only movable contract on this team right now is Bradley Beal. I know John Wall's an all-star. No, nobody's absorbing that contract.
Plus, there's a 15% what trade kicker for John Wall as
it's
well.
Not, it's not happening. Yeah. Nobody is going to absorb that contract. So when you look at where the Wizards are, I think they're the worst team in the NBA based on the situation. They tried the Band-Aid and Dwight Howard. He's only played in three games this year. But they tried the Band-Aid with Dwight Howard and it hasn't worked. John Wall, not even leading the team in scoring. His PER is 19. He's averaging 21 a game. Unexcusable for someone with a contract like that. And then you look at Otto Porter, and when I said that that contract's not movable, you're going to pay a guy who is averaging 11-5, $28 million a year. It makes, you know, if you're a Jazz fan, you look at the Derek Favors contract, and you just give Dennis Lindsay a round of applause because you get him at 2 years. What was it, $18 million for 2 years?
Yeah.
$36 million, I think it was, because you got a player option or something along the lines of that. But you look at these contracts, and this is where it gets bad for the league. And Memphis is in a similar situation. They have played above their heads. They will be at the bottom of the Western Conference within the next 2 months.
I agree.
When I look at it right now, the Wizards are the worst team in the NBA.
I'm with you. I think Washington's worse, and I know Cleveland has a worse record, but the Wizards are worse.
Cleveland's in a better situation.
Yes, their future is better.
Their future is better.
Washington just has too much money loaded on guys that you can't move.
Not going to be able to move these contracts. We'll talk more NBA basketball on the show tomorrow. I want to thank Coach Kyle Wilson. Always fun to talk high school basketball 2 weeks away from the start of the 2018 season. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.